All right, welcome to Ringside Report MMA. Tonight on the show, we're previewing UFC Vegas 52, Lemos versus Andrade. A big week for MMA in Canada, and Mike Tyson hits a guy on a plane.
Let's go!
Let's just get that Mike Tyson thing out of the way. What's up, boys? Mike Tyson hit that nerd. That nerd deserved to get hit, all right? Yes, he deserved to get hit. Screw that guy. Messing with Mike Tyson. What do you think if you're just poking at Mike Tyson on a plane? What do you think's going to happen? You poke a tiger, he's eventually going to bite you, you stupid nerd.
Listen, man. Listen, from what I heard, it wasn't only like he was whispering in his ear, he was bothering him, and at one point he throws a water bottle at Tyson. Like, how crazy do you got to be? And I saw this guy, like, posting, like, a video of him, like, laughing and showing his blood, and Tyson's just sitting there like,
stupid.
You know, I just clocked you, but he's there, like, hamming it up. This guy here wants some money. This guy wants some fame. He's going to get his, like, 30 seconds of fame and that bullshit. But honestly, this is what Tyson said. I don't know if you read what he said, but I love this. This is his quote. You want to hear it, guys? He goes,
do it in a Mike Tyson accent. Do the impression.
Okay, David. So listen to this. Social media made you all comfortable with disrespecting people and not getting punched in the face for it. That's what Mike Tyson says. And Mike Tyson's right. Mike Tyson was absolutely right, man.
Wait. What was the accent at the end? Was that you? And Mike Tyson's right. What was that? Super chat. Fred, did you catch that? What was that?
Not sure.
Hey, how was Mike Tyson? Was it good?
I loved it.
Sounded good.
Great, man.
Thanks, man.
I just wanted to hear him try it, right, Fred? I just wanted to hear him make the attempt of Mike Tyson.
Thank you, Dave.
That was great, man. That was a very good impression.
Oh, Fred sounds...
Thanks, man.
Fred sounds robotic. Does Fred sound robotic to you, AJ?
He sounds like R2-D2, man.
Yeah, Fred, you sound like you're underwater robotic. This is why the show is late tonight. We've been having all sorts of problems with Fred's audio. I don't know what is going on tonight with Fred,
Team Fred.
Listen, man,
you know what Fred sounds like?
No.
Sounds like the guy that got decked by Tyson, man.
Listen, he disappeared. Fred's gone now, too, by the way. Fred just...
Again, like...
Okay, we'll bring him back. We've been having all sorts of problems with Fred's audio for some reason. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully everything will sort itself out. We are back.
Dave,
we're back.
Can you show that?
What?
Can you show that clip? Can you show the clip of Tyson?
Fred's had
it. Beautiful.
Fred, can you hear me?
Fred, what's up, man?
Fred's had it.
I hear you guys. What about you?
Oh, yeah. We hear you.
I hear you.
Fred is so tired of these audio problems. He's like, oh, God. I can't believe this is still happening.
There's more problems coming because the screen seems frozen for me. So,
oh, no.
Is there a snowstorm up in Long Hill?
Yeah, what is happening on the South Shore tonight?
No clue.
It's the hackers, man. That's what it is.
AJ actually sounds good, and Fred, like, for some reason, usually you see the other way around.
Doesn't make sense, man. But listen, did you hear the quote by Tyson? He was absolutely right, man. Because all these people, man, like with their phones, like they're trying to tag people, like, you know, it could be like I don't know, fights and like, you know, world star fights and everything gets posted and posted and there's no repercussions, man. And Tyson's right. He says, listen, man, you want to pull that shit on me? No problem. He gave him the Bronx freaking brawl, man. He was smacking him down. And you know what? Right now, there might be some repercussions on Tyson from what I heard. I heard
well,
that
probably.
There's going to be charges laid on. Yeah, but you know what? Honestly
speaking,
you can't
punch
like
a guy.
Listen, if JetBlue, yes, you can, man.
No,
if
you
the guy's
can't.
Throwing a water bottle.
Only
dude,
Will
man,
Smith.
I'm telling you, Will Smith is a ham. Will Smith,
look,
like, that's a different story. Listen, Tyson
here's
was
the thing.
Playing his punch out, listening to jazz music, and he got a water bottle in the head.
Yeah,
come
I understand
Dave.
That. Maybe if you got hit first, you could hit back, but even then, I don't think you can. I don't think you're allowed to do that. And this is what we've learned from the Cain Velasquez situation. No matter how much somebody has wronged you, you cannot wrong them back. You have to leave it in the hands of the law. Otherwise, you will be in the hands of the law. And it doesn't matter if you're Cain Velasquez or Mike Tyson or Conor McGregor or whatever. You can't take things into your own hands. You're not allowed to do that. As much as we guys that want to take things into our own hands, we may like that type of thing. It doesn't actually work in the real world, unfortunately. If you have a beef with somebody, You can't challenge them to a fight and then beat them up and then just be like, all right, well, that's the end of that, and I'm going to walk away, and then everything will be fine. You know what I mean?
Screw that shit, Dave. Screw that shit, Dave.
Fred, you know what I'm saying? Man? Like, you can't just...
No, you're right, Dave.
Thank you, Fred.
You're right, Dave, man. If anything, you know, like, I'm not for doxing anybody. That's sometimes in the news. But, man, that guy, man, I hope nobody ever hires him. I hope he never does nothing, man. I hope he ends up working at McDonald's the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But other than that, nothing wrong with McDonald's, man. Unfortunately, you can't start hitting people, man.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with people that work at McDonald's. And I would like to applaud all the McDonald's workers because I love you guys. And I especially love it when you get my order right on the drive-thru. When you don't get my order right, then I'm a little annoyed. But you good McDonald's workers, you guys get my order right, and I love it. I just make sure you give me a Coke.
Don't give me a diet Coke.
I hope he needs to... He spends the rest of his life washing toilets at McDonald's.
Okay, there you go. That's the job. That's pretty nasty. You don't want that.
That's hell on earth, man.
The super chats are flying in. I just want to give a shout out to all the members and all the super chatters jumping in here. Doug Hepburn says, "Congrats, Dave. Welcome back, boys." For those that don't know, for those that are new to the show, we've been off for a couple of weeks. This is exactly 2 weeks since we last did a show, and I'm usually here on the Ringside Report Network pretty often, but I had a daughter a couple weeks ago on the 8th of April. My daughter was born, and she's still, you know, around and yelling and doing stuff, you know. So once they're born, you got to take care of them, right? All these members renewing their membership. They've renewed their membership in the past couple of weeks, but we haven't been on, so the notifications are popping up now. So,
nice.
Yeah, there's been a lot to do. There's been a lot to do and a lot going on at home, so that's why I've been off. And we hope to jump back here on the Ringside Report Network in full force within reason. I think I'm going to be back tomorrow night with Johnny North at 10 p.m. right after SmackDown. I'll be back with Johnny for some pro wrestling talk. And then, who knows? Maybe I'll be back even Monday after Raw. It's possible. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the schedule is going to be. I think it's going to be a reduced schedule for the next couple of weeks, at least. And then we'll see. But for now, Thursday, Friday, and then we'll see. But I got two kids now, you know? I got kids. I'm like Heath Slater. I got kids.
Dave has no sleep anymore.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of sleep. I got a lot of, you know... I'm like Fred now. I'm waking up super early and stuff. And next week, I got to get back to jiu-jitsu. Fred, I'm buying a mouth guard, and I'm doing all the things, and I'm coming next week. All right, brother? I'm coming. All right? I didn't come today because I still needed time, but next week, I am coming. I'm coming.
Listen, man, I'm going to tell you something.
To grapple with you. What is that sign?
That's the new gang sign.
Oh, 10. That's a 10. I like it. All right.
That's it.
I'm in.
Listen,
I'm going to tell you something.
Hold on.
Let me address the super chatters. Hold on, AJ, because people have been very nice and generous.
This is important.
Doug Hepburn says, "Congrats, Dave. Welcome back, boys." Thank you, Doug. Angelo Contagone is dropping a super chat. Says, "Welcome back, Dave. Glad to have you back." Well, I'm glad to be back, my buddy Angelo. Patrick C. Hamilton dropping a $45 super chat. Thank you, Patrick. Says, "Mazel tov." Thank you, Patrick. Out in Regina, Saskatchewan. Appreciate you, Patrick. And Franco316 dropping a super chat says, "Welcome back, Dave. We need more of AJ shenanigans." Yes, indeed. And that's why I had to come back here for you on a Thursday night so I could bless the world with more AJ D'Alessio, because that's what we need, is more Hollywood AJ. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Patrick. Very much appreciated. Thank you, Angelo. Thank you, Doug. And thank you, Franco. And Patrick C. Hamilton, of course, is a super chat leader right now. And I assume that he will be when the night is done. So thank you, Patrick. Much appreciated for that generous donation to the Ringside Report Network. And, yeah, I've got two kids now. Fred, it's a lot, eh? God damn, pal.
No more sleep, boys. First of all, I got to say, Dave looks a lot better than when I saw him last week. He looked, like, pretty rough, man. And today you're looking like... like Irish Spring, man. You're looking good. Listen,
you know what my secret
is?
You know what my secret
is?
I'm drinking my own urine. See, that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Hey, listen, man.
It's Mountain Dew, actually.
Remember. Who used to do that?
Machida.
Oh, yeah, Machida.
What? It's Mountain Dew. Are you serious? It's not pee-pee. It's Mountain Dew.
Did he actually do that?
Huh?
What the hell for, man? Did he get bitten by a snake? What's the point?
Yeah, he used to do that. But I don't know. It was good for his something, he would say. I don't know. Yeah, Machida used to drink his pee-pee. And I remember Moises Alou used to pee on his hands because he didn't wear batting gloves. So he'd pee on his hands, and that was, like, good for his hands to swing the bat or something. I don't know.
What? Jesus, Murphy.
Wow. Listen, Fred, you sound robotic again. It just keeps dropping out into robot mode. It's weird.
Domo morigato, Mr. Roboto, domo.
All right, AJ. Domo.
Hey, listen, I got to say something. Okay. Since we're on the Mike Tyson thing, listen, yes. No, I'm serious. This is
I want to get off. I'm done with – I don't care.
No. Wait. But it ties in here. First of all, the Tyson thing was completely crazy, and it's only going to get crazier. But I'm with Tyson.
I think it'll get crazier. I think the punch in the airplane was about as crazy as it'll get.
Yeah. And
how
and
will
what
it
I
get
do
crazier?
Like, it's going to get crazier. I have a feeling.
Okay.
But listen, there's also, like, to carry it through, like, since you guys were talking about jiu-jitsu and whatnot, I want to give out a public announcement to, you know, I am Hollywood AJ. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Johnny Depp. And listen,
what?
Man, listen,
no.
Johnny. Listen,
no.
Listen,
nope.
Listen to me. Listen to
nope.
Me.
Nope.
Listen
to
me. This is when I came back. I need to
nope.
do some jiu-jitsu.
Nope. All right. And there goes AJ. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Fred, what the hell was...
Can't support Johnny Depp?
Well, I just didn't know where he was going, and it could get into weird places with AJ, and I just didn't want to go there. I know that Johnny Depp is in the news. I don't know why exactly. There was a domestic issue, and some people are taking Johnny Depp's side, and I'm not sure that's the side to take. I don't know.
I haven't followed. I think he's been mistreated a bit, though.
That's what I read.
That's
what people are saying, but other people are saying, no, he's not been mistreated. He's just a dick. So it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. I'm not sure. And I didn't want to let AJ go into his whole speech about 70-year-old whatever.
AJ.
Yeah, I didn't, you know.
We know where he's going to go with that.
Exactly.
Free Johnny!
No, I'm not letting him continue. Franco's like, let him continue. I don't think so.
I think it would get into weird places. All I'm saying is, Listen. I wasn't going to say anything controversial other than saying,
yeah, right.
I think the guy needs some good jiu-jitsu lessons.
He does.
He needs
a little bit
of boxing.
We all do, AJ. Of course.
No. He needs it more than anybody.
Okay.
He needs it more than anybody.
Yeah, but maybe not to use against his significant other because that's
wrong. He did it, but
wrong.
Listen, I've been following this like trial for the last 2 weeks. There's another 4 weeks to go.
Oh, boy.
And let me tell you.
Another four weeks to go. AJ's been busy. This is you need the show, AJ. This is what you've been doing, following the Johnny Depp trial.
Man, it's crazy, dude. Listen, I'm just gonna tell you one thing. This thing is so fucked up that we should do like,
no,
like when you and Johnny North, not Johnny Depp, Johnny North did the 90 Day Fiance breakdown. I'm telling you, we should do the Johnny Depp breakdown. I've never seen a guy take more of a beating in my life than him. We have to, but it's so funny. You're talking like the human feces on his bed. You're talking like
alleged cocaine and drugs.
Put a cigarette out on his face. That's a beautiful face, man.
Allegedly.
How dare you put a cigarette
on? It's Johnny Depp, man.
Allegedly.
The Pirates of the Caribbean. Allegedly. The guy looked like a freaking ashtray. But he lost a finger. The guy is classic, man. I love it. And by the way, Johnny Depp, I'm not joking. He used to come to Montreal a lot, by the way, just so you know. He was living here for a little bit of time.
So, guys, last time we were on, we were talking about UFC 273. We're previewing UFC 273, and we were talking about how we're going to do a watch-along on Saturday and everything.
Yeah,
and then my daughter was born on Friday, so that didn't happen, right? Thankfully, I didn't have to sit in a room with AJ for several hours. Anyways.
You ruined my Saturday night, man.
Yeah,
I was,
good.
Like, getting the KFC ready.
Yeah.
I was, like,
I was pumped. I still watch the fights, and I must apologize to Alexander Volkanovski because I remember saying how he's kind of a point fighter. He's not that exciting. I'm not really hyped for his pay-per-view. But then I watched him beat the shit out of Korean Zombie, and I thought, God damn, this Volkanovski, another level. Tremendous fight. And I think, you know, the Holloway fights were both so close. And he had that fight with Ortega where he looked pretty good, but beat him by decision too. He'd been winning by decision and it hadn't been an overwhelming win. You know, it wasn't clearly on his side, any of these wins. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think Holloway maybe won one of those fights or maybe both. They were real tight. And, you know, this was just one of the most impressive showings for Volkanovski because he beat the hell out of Korean Zombie for three and a bit rounds and just went for the kill from the jump. And I was just so impressed with him. So I will never say anything bad about Volkanovski again. I will be excited for all of his pay-per-views going forward because he's just one of the best fighters in the world. He's incredible. That fight was another level of Volkanovski. What a guy. Amazing.
Exactly. It was another level, man. It was like if you want to see like perfect fighting, like on every level of grappling, like striking, just pure martial art, like intelligence. This was a fight, man. This guy is getting better and better, and it's crazy because the Zombie man comes out to fight, but man, he got pummeled. I'm surprised it went the distance. Well, it went to round four. I really didn't think it was going to go that far, but here he comes, and it's not like Volkanovski is known for KOs, but he came and he delivered. And that whole card was incredible. Everything from Khamzat to like the Peter Yan fight, which I thought he got. Look, Peter Yan, I thought, won that fight, but hey, you know, close. We thought so too. It was close, but I thought Peter Yan had the edge. But that was an incredible card. That 273 would have been a beautiful fight to watch, Dave, no doubt about it. But you know what? It's better that you had your daughter, and that's the biggest blessing of all.
That's
but
right.
273 was memorable. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was very good. And there's a lot of talk about Khamzat. There's talk that Leon Edwards is being offered money to step aside and not fight Usman so they could give the fight to somebody else. And there are rumors that it's Khamzat. There are other rumors that it would be Conor McGregor fighting Usman instead. But there's a lot of talk about Kamaru Usman right now and who his next opponent might be. It seemed at one point that it was for sure going to be Leon Edwards, but now with Khamzat's impressive win over Gilbert Burns, he didn't finish Gilbert Burns, but he had a hell of a fight, and it was really exciting, and he had a tough second round, but you know he stayed in there and came back stronger in the third. He was very good, and he clearly won that fight. He won the first and third round, and he lost the second round, which you know, makes you wonder how he would do against Kamaru Usman. I'm not too sure, but not to say I wouldn't like to see it. You know, I could see Usman versus Khamzat next. I could see a Leon Edwards versus Usman next. Fred, who do you want to see against Usman here? Does Khamzat jump the line?
I don't think so. I think Leon Edwards said that there was no truth to the thing that Chael Sonnen said about Conor McGregor getting the next shot. So I think Leon Edwards still wants his shot. And I think he's the rightful contender here. Khamzat had a great fight, man. It was very entertaining, exciting. Finally, he beats like a top guy. But I don't think he should pass over Leon Edwards. Khamzat, man, great performance. He's a bit of a brawler, man. So I don't know how that would go against Usman, man. Khamzat likes to brawl. Usman is very technical. So right now, if you ask me, I think Usman would probably beat Khamzat. I expect Usman to beat Leon Edwards, and I would say Usman's going to be a champion for a couple more years.
Who do you think has the best shot, though? Like, I don't give Leon Edwards a shot against Usman, right? And I don't think most people would. I think betting Vegas would have Usman as a massive favorite over Leon Edwards. But with Khamzat, it's something else. It's like there's an unknown about him. It's like, well, he probably loses. I think that Usman comes in as a favorite, but a slight favorite because there's an unknown with Khamzat that you don't really have with Leon Edwards and you don't really have with Conor McGregor either. I hope that's just a rumor because that's absolutely ridiculous. Conor McGregor against Kamaru Usman, like, please, I hope that's not in the cards because it's just stupid. But
he's looking jacked, Dave.
Come on! He's a 45er, 55er at best. You're going to jump up and fight the 170 king and you have no wrestling to speak of? And Usman is just a savage everywhere with wrestling and punching and everything he does. He's the best. Conor McGregor at this point getting a title shot against Usman is a joke, and that better not happen. It'll sell pay-per-views, but Conor against anybody sells pay-per-views. Don't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the first word of Conor McGregor getting a shot against Kamaru Usman. That is stupid shit. I don't even want to entertain that possibility. I think Khamzat is a more interesting matchup for Usman. And after beating Gilbert Burns, maybe he deserves it over Leon Edwards. Who's Leon Edwards really beat? Nate Diaz? You know?
Look, I'm going to tell you something. Khamzat impressed me, man. Like, when you look at the fight prior to Gilbert Burns, the guy was only touched once in four fights. Only once he got connected. And the biggest mystery was, is he able to take a barrage of shots from a guy like Burns? Burns is a powerful hitter. He's just top of the level, like, grappler, man. When he's in the clinch, he's wearing you down. The guy is, like, is dangerous. And I'd like to see Burns fight like Usman again. But the thing is that Khamzat took a beating. And let me tell you, he was able to take punches, take kicks, take everything that was thrown to him, and he didn't go down. He got wobbled a few times, but he was able to come out of it, which is the most impressive thing, because it's proof to me that this guy has what it takes to go to war. And like Freddie says, this guy is ready to brawl. If you want to brawl with him, Khamzat is going to brawl. If you want to play technical, Khamzat's going to do that. He's going to do that. But Freddie, he has what it takes to go the distance. Listen, it's a shame that it was only three rounds, because I would have loved to see this go five rounds. This was a fight where you were like, I want to see more. And you know what? I agree with you.
If anything, that fight this weekend against Burns is some good, like, experience, you know, like Khamzat now having fought a top guy like Burns and having gone through a war, I think that's going to help him in future fights, where if he ever gets, you know, in tough situations, he could go and say, like, I've been through this before and I did succeed. So it's some good experience. But at the same time, the fact that he likes to brawl that much, man, and I don't expect Usman to go and brawl. Usman's going to stay very technical. And I would say the same thing for Colby, if it's Colby Covington. Like, Colby is not going to brawl with him. He's just going to stay technical and point fight and stay out of danger. So I'm not convinced that Khamzat would have success against those type of guys. But, hey, that was a great performance. And if he goes over Leon Edwards, I got no problem with that. I understand he has way more hype than Leon Edwards, and in this sport, man, that counts. You know, if there's hype behind you, that means you're getting reviews. People are going to want to see you. So I got no problem if he passes Leon.
And if we're looking at it, you know, even from a fighting perspective, okay, Leon Edwards has won a ton of fights in a row, and he's done very well for himself. He lost to Kamaru Usman in 2015, a three-round decision, and he hasn't lost since. He's won 9 in a row with a no contest with Bilal Muhammad with the accidental eye poke there, but he's beat RDA, he beat Nate Diaz, he beat Gunnar Nelson, he beat Vicente Luque. Like, he's beat some top guys, some top-ranked guys, and it's hard to deny the guy his title shot, but here comes Khamzat, and you're like, oh, I don't know. Do you put the guy who's earned the title shot over years, or do you put in the guy who a lot of people feel has a better shot at beating the champion? But honestly, I think there's an argument you could make for wait, give it to Leon Edwards now, let Khamzat fight Colby Covington, see how he does with Colby as a really good test to see if he's ready for Kamaru, because Khamzat's just 27 years old. Like, the guy's got a ton of time to get there and be ready for Kamaru, because I think right now, I think all of us think Kamaru might be a little too much for Khamzat at this moment, but in a year, he might not be. I think now I would side with Kamaru, but like by a slight edge, and I'd really like to see that fight. Like, to me, the best fight at 170 for Kamaru Usman, the most anticipated, is Khamzat Chimaev. Like, that's the one I want to see more than anything for Kamaru. But I think Kamaru probably wins. But in a year or so, like, Khamzat gets a little better, fights, you know, Kobe. Kamaru gets a little older because Kamaru's like, I don't know, he's like 35, I think. And Khamzat's 27. So, you know, give it a year, give it 2 years. Kamaru's 34. Like, when Kamaru's 36, 37, and Khamzat's 29, 30, it's going to be a different ball game. You know? Different story. Yeah. So,
and look,
maybe
back
give it
to
time.
That. Dave, and going back to that card, man, like, our picks and our parlays, man, we were on the money for every fight. And the one that we lost
Except
really
Sterling.
Was – exactly. That was the fight that I thought we got robbed. And you know what? We would have been, like, making some good money for everyone. I really thought we were going to make some good money. And I'm like – I was shocked. So the Peter Yan fight, you know,
it
Peter didn't come out as aggressive as I thought he would, but – it was close, but I'm really and a lot of people agree with us. I mean, Peter Yan looked like he won that fight. You know,
yeah, but,
I don't know if
you
it
know,
was just a – I don't
he,
know, man. It was
Yan
just a weird
won
one.
Two rounds for sure. Sterling won two rounds for sure. And it all comes
but
down
last,
to that first round that was real tight
was Peter Yan.
That you could call either way. And you, I thought Yan had a slight edge, but again
– so did I.
I'm not mad
close
at the decision.
Close decisions don't always go like you think, man. You know,
exactly.
Like, it's not – like, I had Yan also, but it's not like it was a robbery. Like, I could see, like, how Sterling won a couple of rounds, and, hey, it's one round extra that he needs that you didn't agree with. So, you know, like, that happens. That's not that controversial.
Yeah.
It wasn't super controversial. It was tight.
I don't know if you guys saw the AJ McKee fight with Pitbull. I thought
that was
more
crazy.
Controversial. I thought AJ McKee won that fight in Bellator,
so
and he
I,
got
man.
A bit of a screw job.
He got
over
robbed,
there.
Man.
That
he
was
got the
a
screw
weird
job.
One.
And you know what? You know why it was he got the screw job? Because
well,
he wanted that win to make his way into the UFC. And that was what it was coming down to. It's like, look, Dave, that was a screw job. Look, I love Pitbull.
That was the talk, right? It
great
was a little
fighter,
suspicious.
Man.
Little
yeah,
suspicious
man. Like, it was...
because he was talking, yeah, I'm going to win this Bellator fight, then I'm going to be the Bellator champion, then I'm going to go to UFC. Then he goes to a close decision with Pitbull that a lot of people
well,
think
wasn't...
that he won, and then for
yep.
some reason the judges are like, nope, Pitbull won, and you're like, eh. But that would be... pointing to a lot of collusion and a big conspiracy with Bellator and the judges and all that, which I'm not willing
man.
To go to. AJ
Look,
likes
Pitbull
to go there. I'm not going
too.
There.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. And I'll go even further and say, plus, if he wins, Bellator might have, like, a champion clause on him. Like, there's been cases in the past where Bellator has a champion clause where they could match offers for their champion. So, if anything, man, him losing opens up like his free agency, and I think the UFC will probably still be interested in him.
Yep,
oh,
I
yeah,
agree.
For sure,
I agree. I think agree, he'd man. Be a good fighter in the UFC. So that was a couple weeks ago. Last week, I called this one. He was an underdog going into it. Bilal Muhammad over Vicente Luque.
Man,
I had that one
good,
for
man.
You. I gave that one to you on Twitter. I know
yep.
we didn't have a show last week, but I was on Twitter at Dave Simon MMA, and I called Bilal Muhammad with the upset. I actually thought it would be a decision as well, which was a nice little pick-ski for you in the main event last week over Vicente Luque. Dominant performance from Bilal using that wrestling. Wrestling wins big fights, man. You want to fight at the top, top level, your wrestling has to be on point. That is, I'd say, 9 times out of 10 what wins you championships, what wins you championship-level fights. If you're in the top 5 of MMA and your wrestling's not on point, forget about it.
Forget about it, man. And
unfortunately
right, man,
for him,
overall.
Say it again, Fred.
I was going to say, unfortunately for him, man, I think you're right. You say top five, but he's fifth. Where, like, you got Kamaru, you got Khamzat, you got Leon Edwards, and you got Kobe Covington. But then you got Muhammad, and who does he face, you know? And he wins a lot of decisions, so people like to hate on him a little bit for being maybe, like, not as exciting as they would want. So I'm not sure what's next for Bilal, but that was a good win.
Yeah.
It was a very good win. But overall, I think Vincent, in my opinion, I found him very flat-footed.
Who's Vincent?
I found him like Vincent, Vincente Luque, man. Vincent, the same thing, man. I'm going to tell you, he looked flat-footed. He didn't look like Vincenzo. He wasn't aggressive like he usually is. Vincenzo, man. Luque. He's Italian. But I'm going to tell you something. It just wasn't his fight. But Bilal, man, stepped it up, man. And I gave a lot of credit to Bilal, man. He's going to be exciting. And he's going to be – got to watch out for this guy. He might surprise a lot of people. You know, and he already is. But, man, what a great fight.
Yeah.
And then I was really impressed with the other Brazilian, Caio Borraio. That guy was impressive.
That's
that,
Vincent.
Man?
Vincent.
Luque.
Yeah, Vincent, bro.
What does he say?
Didn't
he
I really claim sick blood or something? Like,
yeah, yeah. Well wishes to Virgil and the whole meat sauce mafia. What? Yeah, the fights were good last weekend. I want to get to the fights this weekend, though, AJ. I mean, come on.
Come on, man.
I got kids. I got to put to bed. I mean,
what about
last
Mounier?
Weekend, whatever.
Did you listen? You're not going
to
talk about our buddy Mounier?
To Olivier. Nice win yesterday, man.
Yeah, let's talk about Olivier. Nice win. What a win. Did you guys watch the fight with Nathan Schultz there for PFL? Olivier looked really sharp, man. First couple rounds, he looked fantastic. He clearly won the first round. He was on his bike moving around, landing punches, looking great. Second round, more of the same from Olivier. But the pace he was putting on, I think it was tough, man, because he really had to move around a lot to keep it on the guy, and he kept it on him. Third round, though, Nathan Schultz came, you know, he came on him a little bit. He was a little bit more, you know, in his game, and he was finding some openings and landing some shots on Olivier, but Olivier stood tall, man. He fought in there. He had, you know, he took some shots, but he was able to kind of, you know, fight his way through that third round, survive, and win out the decision. It was a split decision. I thought he won the first two rounds pretty clearly. The third round didn't go his way, but, hey, the fight went his way, and that's all you want as you advance there in the PFL with 3 points for the decision win. Really nice win for Olivier. I was really happy to see him and his coaches there get the win. Good Montreal guys. And, yeah, fantastic win for Olivier Aubin-Mercier yesterday in the PFL. I was very happy to see him win. He's a good guy. I saw him at the park just around my house when I was sledding in the wintertime with my son. We were sledding, and Olivier was, like, snowboarding on the other side over there, and I see him doing his winter activities. He's a good guy from the neighborhood, you know. I like to see a guy like that win. So
he's a character, man. Yeah, he's a great guy, man. I'm telling you, man. I'll never forget like our meeting with him at the TSN studios when he was drinking Uncle Benny's wine and that whole spiel. Man, we had a good time. Cool
good
guy,
man.
Like a really cool guy. And you know, I spent some time with him when he was on The Ultimate Fighter, and I was there for the revealing of what was going to happen to him if he got into the UFC. So I was sitting at the table with him, and, you know, he was making sure that everybody was okay and we were all looking forward. He wasn't letting anyone know what happened, man. And once it got revealed that he was going, you know, as a pick, it was awesome. But a really, you know, not only a good fighter, a great athlete, you know, at a judo level, man, at the Olympic level, just a cool guy, man, overall. And I'm happy for him, and I hope he makes it, man. I hope he gets that money.
I'm a big fan, and I hope he gets $1 million. I think he's great, and I wish him the best all the time. I want him to have the best career that
he can have.
The Canadian gangster. We love him. We're big fans here at the Ringside Report Network. Shout out to Olivier. He is the man. What a guy. In such great shape, too. He's so jacked. You see him? My God, how did he get abs like that? What is happening? So jacked, this guy. Tremendous.
He's
always in top
George,
shape.
Man.
Yeah, no joke, man.
He's
this guy's
George.
For real. Yeah, it helps. It helps. Good for him.
He's training with all kinds of
you
guys.
You really
want to
talk
TJ,
about that guy, Mounier? You want to talk about that guy,
man,
and
the
dumb
the
shit he said? Oh, my God.
Listen, man. Look, Mounier, man, like, obviously I know him. I trained with him. Super nice guy, man. But, man, he fought a fight that was incredible. He was like, it looked like a video game. He was just moving like laser fast, like
whatever. He beat a guy by decision. Who cares? And then he shouted out an international drug cartel leader, and he got into all sorts of trouble for it. Because hey, maybe you shouldn't be shouting out people that are wanted by the FBI. You stupid fucking jabroni. Oh my god!
Like, according to him, he had no idea, man. He's like, I don't.
Oh,
know.
Oh yeah! Oh, I had no idea why this guy's a multi millionaire. I have no idea. He's super connected.
Reporter,
I mean, Conor McGregor hangs out with these guys too. The Kinahan cartel, these Irish gangsters.
Tyson Fury also.
Tyson Fury. But Conor McGregor, he hangs out with them. Conor McGregor, you can say what you want about him. He talks a lot of shit. You never hear him in his post-fight speech. Shout out to the Kinahan boys. He doesn't say that shit because he's smart enough to keep his mouth shut. Goddamn Munir. Oh, I'd like to say thank you to Kinahan. You stupid fucking... What the fuck? Shut your mouth!
Listen, man.
Stupid.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
Buddy, fought well,
be
man.
Be friends with you these know? Guys. Whatever.
So
you can
worse?
Have friends in all sorts of places, and it is what it is. As long as you're not hurting anybody, you're not doing any crimes, if you're friends with criminals, it's fine. I got no problem with that. You know, we're all friends with criminals here. AJ is a known felon. We know all this, right? So it's fine. But maybe don't say it in public. AJ's not a known felon. I say that as a joke because I know enough not to say who the real criminals are because I'm not stupid. International television. Shout out to my good friend, international drug smuggler. You fucking guy. Dude, shut up, man. You're not supposed to say these people's names. But I think this Kinahan guy's like involved in boxing and shit. He's one of these gangsters, like a John Gotti type, who thinks he's so powerful and he's so big in crime that everybody can know that he's doing this shit and he'll never get touched. He'll never get put away. It's like, man, have you not seen the movies? Have you not heard how all these stories end? If you're a gangster and everybody knows your name, eventually bad shit happens to you. It's just that's how it ends. Like, yeah, you can be
if
a famous.
If you make the FBI look bad, they get mad.
Yeah, you could be a famous gangster for a while, and it works, and it's fun, I'm sure, for a bit, but eventually they get you because they don't like it if you're fucking loud. The guys that survive, nobody knows who their names are. Nobody knows about them because that's how you survive. Anyways, this Kinahan guy survived so far, but this Munir Laziz isn't doing him any favors, I'll tell you that much.
So what's worse, shout out to Kinahan or to Kadyrov?
Ooh, nice one, Dave. Nice one, Freddie, I should say.
I would say it's worse to Kinahan because you have a choice. Bro, if you don't shout out Kadyrov, goons come get you in the night and you disappear forever. Like, it's a different type of world. Kinahan is a gangster. Kadyrov is a warlord. You know, this guy's fucking crazy. Kadyrov kills people. I mean, so does Kinahan, probably, allegedly, I don't know. But you know what I mean? Kadyrov is like a fucking dictator.
Well, if you deserve it, you deserve it.
Yeah, okay, but dictator... If you deserve... Hey, take it easy, AJ. You're on the wrong side of history tonight. I don't know what's happening
with you. These guys should be like... These guys should be like managers in wrestling, man. You know, you got the gangster manager, man. I like it, man.
But Fred,
how about guys like
it's real
Don
here,
King
Fred. It doesn't work if it's real, because then there's like war crimes and real people dying and shit. It's bad, Fred. I don't know if you know, but it's not
Freddie,
good to do these things.
But Dave, think about it, man. Think about the past, man. Guys like Don King, man, who's still alive. He's like 90 years old, man.
Yeah.
Who's like rocked the boxing scene back in the days, was like convicted of manslaughter.
Yeah.
He got rid of a lot of like boxers, allegedly, you know, no, like not naming anybody, like, you know, allegedly that passed away, like, you know, me and Joe Green. But anyways, I'm just going to say is that there's a lot of involvement with certain figures in certain sports. Boxing is one of them. But listen,
sure,
man.
And I will not deny that.
Football player.
Who knows? It doesn't
matter.
Could
be him too, man.
Here's
but look, when it comes down to,
and I get that. And Don King was a boxing promoter that had ties to organized crime. He was a go-between from the fight world to the crime world at times, supposedly. Right? But the Kinahan thing is a different thing. He's not a go-between promoter. There's always going to be ties to crime, organized crime, and all sorts of crime in the fight world. You can't avoid it. Organized crime needs muscle. What's the best muscle? professional fighters who fight people for money, who do it all day, every day. They're good at being muscle and being crime guys, right? There's always going to be that, and fixing of fights and all that stuff. There's always going to be that element around fighting. But you're not supposed to be the direct crime guy in the fighting. You're supposed to be like the crime guy in the shadows. And then you talk to Don King and you're like, do these things here for me in the fighting. And then he does the things in the fighting. You know? You're not supposed to be like Dana White can't be like an international drug smuggler, because then it'd be like, all right, the president goes to jail and then you're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Kinahan is the crime guy. You're not supposed to talk about him in the fight. He's supposed to be removed. He may be involved, but you're not supposed to say his name.
But maybe in a couple generations, like the Fertitta, the Kinahan will be like completely legit, man.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Just like it was bootlegging like alcohol back in the days in the Prohibition time, man. Like, you know, when I was a kid. But I'm saying, like, you look at guys like Don King, and going back to him, like, he freaked me out. Like, his career, man, and his life was wrapped in controversy, but no one ever took him down. He's still around, 90 years old, man. He actually killed 2 people in his lifetime, man. You know, that's not allegedly. That is, he was convicted of two of those crimes and then was pardoned. But the thing is that, you know what? Munir said something. Look, he didn't say, I don't want to say he said something wrong. He didn't say something not wrong. He just mentioned the name. Maybe it wasn't the perfect time after winning a fight. But his post-interview was basically like, well, this guy helped me out a lot in my life. And he probably did. Probably helped him out in his career and whatnot. So, you know what? It's like, you know, he was giving thanks to someone who supported him, you know?
Yeah, with money that comes from crime that you should maybe shut the fuck up about on TV, maybe. If you're getting the proceeds of crime, maybe don't mention it on TV, you know? Like, fine, if you're going to get it, fine, but maybe shut the fuck up about it. Seems like the better move. All right, guys, we got fights here coming up on Saturday. We got a lot of shit to get to here before we wrap up this sucker. I got kids to put to bed, and we got things to do. Freddie's got business to take care of. Let's go. Big weekend for Canadian MMA. We had Olivier Aubin getting the weekend started yesterday. Early start to the weekend on a Wednesday, but hey, fuck it. Let's just make the whole week a weekend. Let's just party. we've got some Canadians fighting Charles Ayres Jourdain, friend of the show, taking on Lando Venata. Should be a great fight. And Powerbar Marc-André Barriot taking on Jordan Wright in a middleweight contest. So two Quebec fighters representing on the weekend in the UFC. And you know where we're going. We're going with the Airman, Charles Ayres Jourdain, over Lando Venata. This is going to be a fun fight. Lando Venata is that guy that fought Tony Ferguson a few years ago and had a war with him. Real fun fighter with a hell of a chin. And I think that chin
and
will...
reach.
Yeah, he's got good reach. He's got 71 weird long inch arms. Reach. Yeah, he's good, this Venata guy. But I think Jourdain is better. And I am going to go with Charles Ayres Jourdain. I believe he wins this fight. But I don't know if he could put Venata away, because Venata's just got such a crazy chin that I think he'll be able to take Charles's best shots. I think he'll be hurt, but I think he'll survive but lose. I got Charles Ayres Jourdain winning this fight on Saturday by decision. So I'm going with that.
Yeah, I'm on the same
page. I pretty
much
agree. And I'm going to say it's going to be fight of the night, man. Both of these guys like the brawl, man. They're going for a bonus. And I expect them to get it.
Should be a good one.
And I agree with Freddie. I say it's a fight of the night as well, man. This could have been the headliner for all matters. I mean, there's one thing with Charles, man. He delivers, and he delivers excitement. And he's going to do it again on Saturday. This kid is revved. He's pumped. He's ready to fight, and he wants to throw a good show. And he always delivers, man. I hope he gets the bonus, but I agree with Freddie. It's going to be fight of the night.
Should be an awesome fight. I'm looking forward to Marc-André Barriot taking on Jordan Wright as well. The Jourdain fight is actually on the main card. The Barriot fight will be the headliner of the prelim card. Barriot coming off a tough knockout loss to Bruno Silva. But I don't think Jordan Wright is quite at the same level of a Bruno Silva. That's Wright coming off the loss to Silva. It was Barriot coming off the loss to Chidi Njokuani, who high-level guys. Njokuani is very good. Bruno Silva is very good. I think both of these guys, Barriot and Jordan Wright, coming off losses to guys that are just, you know, very high level that you can get knocked out by. You know, Bruno Silva and Njokuani are both just deadly in there. And I think it's going to come down to, in the Barriot-Jordan Wright fight, just who lands that big power shot. I think both of these guys, again, have big-time power. And Barriot needs this one. He definitely needs this one. But, you know, Barriot and Wright, they like to bang. They like to stand and trade. But they're both susceptible to getting knocked out. So I think, again, like,
yep,
you know, it's kind of like a heavyweight fight. It's a catchweight fight at 190. These are two big boys. They're going to be in there. They're going to be swinging. And whoever lands the best shot is going to win this fight. And I think Barriot will land the best shot. But, you know, it's a tough fight here for Barriot because Jordan Wright has heavy hands. Barriot has heavy hands. And they're both coming off knockout losses. So, I don't know. I'm going with the power bar, though. Hoping for the best of power bar.
They both have questionable jaws. There's no doubt about it, man. Somebody's going to get knocked out. This is not going to go the distance. Wright has, if you have to pick who has like the weaker jaw in a sense, if you look at all the stats and everything, Wright has it. So I think Marc-André Barriot, who doesn't always go for that knockout, or he doesn't have the heaviest hands, but I think he'll be able to deliver. I think Wright's chin is not going to be able to sustain Barrio's continuous barrage. Like you said, he needs this win. He needs to win big. The last time I checked, he was still living in a trailer in Florida. He needs to move out, man. He needs to make money. So I think this is the fight that he's going to do it.
Hoping for the best for Marc-André Barriot, and I think that he does pull it off. I think it'll be a perfect weekend for Quebec in the Octagon. The main event coming up is Amanda Lemos taking on Jessica Andrade, a couple of Brazilian women doing battle in the UFC's strawweight division, 115 pounds. Andrade has bounced around in the weights, right? She fought at 125, 115. Thought she fought maybe at 135 at one point, too. She's been all over the place. She fought at 125. I feel like very recently, maybe her last fight, and this now back at 115, taking on a top 115 fighter, Amanda Lemos, who's 11-1-1.
Yep.
I wonder why Andrade is dropping weight again. Why? You know?
Who knows?
I don't know. Not me. That's why I'm asking the question. Because, like, Andrade,
I'm not sure, man.
This is another drop in weight here. Like, she's fought at flyweight. She fought Shevchenko. She lost the title fight. Then she stayed at flyweight, fought Cynthia Calvillo. She fought at strawweight before. She was a former strawweight champion, you know, and then she went up to 125, and now she's back down at 115. I don't know. It's odd that she's going up and down.
Yeah, but man, she's solid, man. If you're going to look at someone who's able to like dominate a fight, this is the person. I mean, if you look at her only losses, man, she lost to like elite people, man. She lost to Wei Li, she lost to Rose, she lost to Valentina. You know, Lemos is amazing. She's coming in. I think she's on a 5-fight victory here. But out of the two, man, Andrade is younger. She's 30 years old. Lemos is 34. She hasn't fought the level of fighting that Andrade has. And you know Andrade, she's a power puncher, man. She's going in there to knock you out. I don't see this fight going anywhere but that, man. It's going to be a knockout. It's not going to last long. I don't think it's going to go the distance. I think Lemos is great. I think great fighter, but I don't think she has what it takes to beat Andrade. Andrade's a beast, man.
Yeah, I don't know about this one. I'm not too sure. Fred, what do you think? What's your feel on the main event?
I'm going to go with Andrade, the veteran. She's been through a lot of wars. She's always a tough girl. I'm going to go with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not putting her on my parlay, I'll tell you that much. We're going to get the parlays here in a minute. I don't really have a call in this fight. I'm leaning towards Lemos, but I'm not really sure.
Yeesh.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I'm not... Lemos is a little taller, a little longer. I could see her dancing around and avoiding the big punch from Andrade. Lemos finds a way to win. That's what I look at. You know, Lemos hasn't fought the level of competition that Andrade has fought, but she's found a way to win in the UFC. And that's big. Figuring out how to win an MMA fight. It's like, the more fights I watch, the more I realize it's not the better fighter that wins. It's the fighter that figures out how to play the game properly, how to win the rounds and win the minutes and win the points. A lot of times, like last weekend, I thought Vicente Luque put Bilal Muhammad in way more danger in that fight. Vicente Luque hit Bilal Muhammad and hurt Bilal Muhammad, and he put him in more danger. But Bilal Muhammad fought smarter, and he found a way to win the game of MMA. If they fought until somebody went to sleep, I think Vicente would win. But that's not how MMA works. It's five-minute periods in a main event, and you got to win 3 out of 5 to go home with a victory. And a lot of people think it's a fight, and you're out there to kill, but you're not. You're out there to win 5-minute matches. And the people that figure out how to win are the people that, you know, they figured out that game. And Amanda Lemos has figured out that game. I think she wins the game. I don't think she wins the fight, but I think she wins the game. I think she wins the decision. But what do I know? Clay Guida taking on Claudio Puelles in the co-main event. I'm going with Clay. I like the Carpenter in this one. I think he beats Puelles. I've not been impressed with Puelles. Clay is very good. He's very game. He's not going to get tapped by Puelles' stuff. He's going to be in his face the whole time. He's going to win a decision. I got Clay Guida. Clay Guida!
Man, I love Clay Guida. He always comes out to fight. But, Dave, honestly, man, this kid is 24 years old. Clay Guida is 40 years old. And if you're looking at, like, submission and whatnot, he's got 6 submission wins, man. He's a great grappler, man.
Over who?
Much bigger than Clay Guida.
6 submission wins over who, bro?
Look, still.
Nope.
It doesn't matter, man. I still think that Clay, I think, look.
It matters.
I don't think it's gonna happen on Saturday. But
I got a Clay Guida last fight. Jessica Andrade parlay. Here it is. I don't have a computer, so I got no clue of the odds. That's my parlay: Clay Guida, Jessica Andrade.
There you go, Team Freddy Parlay. We're gonna bank it. Give it to you. Bada bing, bada Fred. It's a Team Freddy parlay. Clay Guida -112. Jessica Andrade -217. $20 gets you 55-54 over at bet99.com. Bet with us over at bet99.com. There's Team Fred, Clay Guida, and Jessica Andrade. And you know what? I might as well give you the Team Dave parlay. Fred's keeping it simple. Dave's keeping it simple. I'm giving you the Team Dave parlay. Oh, a little juicier than Fred's, but it's as simple as Freddy's. It's a 2-fight parlay. It's our man Clay Guida once again, the Carpenter with the win, and Charles Air Jourdain from Montreal. $20 at bet99 gets you $71.25. Let's go, Team Dave. Jourdain and Guida. AJ, you want to give me your 13-fight parlay or whatever you got going?
Listen, man, I'm cracking this time. Listen, I'm going to go with Jessica Andrade for sure. I'm going to go with Claudio Puelles. I think he's going to beat Clay Guida, man. 24 years old, man, 6 feet tall. I don't think Clay has what it takes, even on the ground. This kid can grapple. This kid can defend. And this kid can submit. And like I said, you asked who he submitted last, man. He submitted Felipe Silva.
He's going to be overwhelmed on the feet. He's going to be overwhelmed on the feet.
Listen,
he won't
man,
be able
if
to handle
Clay
Guida.
Guida, he can submit Clay Guida. And listen, I'm not saying to go with the submission, but it's a strong possibility.
He won't tap him.
Then we got Chase Sherman coming back into the UFC. He got released. I mean, this whole fight was based on this Alexander Romanov fight. So Chase is back.
He's
again.
Plus
I'm happy for him in the UFC. I know, dude. So that's it. Chase is not. He's coming back. He's gonna make some money. He might have another fight with the UFC, but you know he'll probably be released again sometime in 2022. But you know, good for him. He's gonna make some money. But yeah, Romanov is my pick for that. And if anybody is gonna win with a submission, it's gonna be this guy. Then I'm going to go with Charles Jourdain, man. You know, I think like you said, it's gonna come down to a decision. Jourdain's my pick. I'm gonna stick with that one. No, that's about it. I was going to go with Marc-André Barriot, but I want to keep it to the main card.
Okay.
That's it for tonight.
There you go. There's the AJ parlay. Let's give it to you here. Claudio Puelles. I don't know how to say his name.
Puelles.
Jessica Andrade, Alexander Romanov, and Charles Eric Jourdain. $20 at Bet99 gets you $111.61. There you go. And you know what? Let me give you one more. You know what? Let me throw one more at you. I'm going to throw a single bet on my man, Sergey Kandoshko, over Dwight Grant. All right?
That's
Sergey
a good one, yeah.
Kandoshko. Hasn't fought since 2019, but I think he's a very solid pick and a lot of value at minus 120 right now. Grant minus 105 sent Sergey Kandoshko, a slight favorite. I think he definitely wins this fight against Dwight Grant on Saturday. So, again, Sergey Kandoshko is another Team Dave pick. That'll be a single bet for you. Throwing it on there. And I think we are just about done, I think.
Yeah,
I'm going to be back tomorrow night with Johnny North at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right after SmackDown. I'll be back here talking about SmackDown and AEW. And all the things going on in wrestling, WWE, and everything. And Angelo wants to know if I gave my daughter a name. I did, and I think I hear her yelling. Maybe I could get her on the show to say goodnight to everybody.
Brittany.
You guys talk amongst yourself for a moment, all right?
Hey, listen, I see Anthony McDonough is on from – Anthony is in from the UK, man. What's up, bud? Thanks for staying up with us. You missed the whole spiel. I did a Mike Tyson impersonation. Backtrack, listen to it. Everything's looking good.
Do it again.
So Dave's – I can't do that, Fred. But I'm going to tell you something. Dave named his daughter Brittany. I told him not to do it, but he insisted on the name Brittany. I'm thinking he named her Brittany not because of the wrestler, more because of Britney Spears. But, hey, that's my take.
I don't even know what wrestler is named Brittany. There's a wrestler named Brittany?
Yeah, there's a wrestler named Brittany. What's up, Angelo? Happy Easter, by the way. Just to let you know, it's Orthodox Easter coming up. So, you know, Opa, bring some lamb to us if you have a chance.
Oh, lamb?
Yeah, man. It's Greek Easter. They do their Mishwi thing, you know. It's great. There's the daughter, guys. Ladies
I didn't
and
know
gentlemen.
We're getting lamb, baby. Oh, she's mad, too.
It's baby Brittany.
She's real mad.
She's so cute. I love her. Doesn't look like Dave. Thank God.
She kind of does, actually. Oh, we're getting a zoom in on her. There she is.
Look at this. Look how beautiful. What's up there? Dave, are you going to say the name of the baby?
Yeah, this is Zola. Zola Simon. Z-O-L-A. Hey, Zola. Oh, little Zoli. Hello. There she is. Oops.
Yeah, but the mic is covering up the baby. Oh, look how cute she is. I love her. I want to kiss her. Look how cute. Yeah, so it's Zola. So Fred decided to take a very Italian name and name his baby. So AJ.
Fred.
Dave.
That's he Fred?
I'm Dave. I'm Dave.
It's been a long night, man. So it's not Freddy's kid. Let's not cause controversy here. I don't want anybody to get Will Smith. Anyways, Dave named The baby after Zola, a very Italian.
I really
name, so
didn't.
I'm sure Franco would appreciate
it's my
it.
Son yes, named did. Her. My son named her in the womb. He said, "It's got to have a Zed name like me." My son Zev said, "Well, it's got to have a Zed name like me." So Zolan, if it's a boy, or
That's
Zola,
right.
or Zola, if it's a girl. He just came up with that. So then we were just calling her Zola in the womb, and then she was born. We kept calling her Zola. So here she is. She's Zola. Hey, Zola.
That's right. And Zola, like look, Anthony McDonald said it's one of Chelsea's greatest player ever, man. You're right. He played for the Italian national team. Great player, man. Zola. Like I said, man, Dave went with an Italian name, man.
I like her. She's all right. She's a pretty good baby. And look, she calmed down. As soon as she came on the show, she's like, all right, I got to be cool here.
These guys suck. Let me stay quiet. Oh, look how cute. She's waving, too. So that's number two for Dave.
Yeah.
He's going to go on number three. And
here
then
we go.
Dave's
so where's
number
two for
again.
You, AJ?
Forget it. AJ's done, man. AJ's done. You know how hard it is to sleep, man? Dave knows.
Tell me about it. And I got to go put the other one to bed. So show's over, guys. I will see you again tomorrow night for Wrestling Uncensored with Big Johnny. I want to give a shout-out to all the super chatters, especially Patrick C. Hamilton. You're the super chat leader of the night. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate you. Angelo Contagonis. Thank you, Angelo. Thank you, Doug Hepburn. Thank you, Franco316. Thank you to all the members. Appreciate you guys. Anthony McDonough, shout out to you as well. And a big shout out to Patrick C. Hamilton for the super chat and everything. Thank you, guys. And I will see you again tomorrow night with Johnny North for Wrestling Uncensored here on the Ringside Report Network.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been.